Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson, and produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is edition NWS 815 for release on Sunday, October 6th, 2024. On the program today, Radio in Japan, Part 2, the Japan Shortwave Club, and our Japan DX Report. Continuing the topic we started last week on early broadcasting in Japan, here's Ray Robinson with a look at the early shortwave stations in Japan, and also at the shortwave and medium wave stations set up by Japan in Manchuria and Korea during the period between the two world wars.
Thanks, Jeff. Over the last 20 years or so, half a dozen people associated with Pacific Radio Heritage in New Zealand have been conducting long-term research into the fascinating story of radio broadcasting in the areas of the Pacific and Asia during the Pacific War. This extensive research has uncovered a host of almost forgotten events regarding the radio scene in that region back in the middle of the last century. So we begin today by taking a look at the shortwave radio scene in Japan during the Pacific War. As we mentioned last week, the first experimental radio broadcast in Japan went on the air from medium wave station JOAK in Tokyo on March 1, 1925, and a regular radio service commenced just 2 weeks later. 5 years later, in 1930, the first successful broadcast on shortwave went on the air from a 20-kilowatt communication transmitter located at Nozaki in West Tokyo. This experimental broadcast was a relay from medium wave JOAK, and it was beamed across the Pacific to Japanese communities in North America and Hawaii. Reception of these somewhat irregular broadcasts in the early 30s was confirmed with QSL cards printed either in Japanese or in English. A regular shortwave service was inaugurated on June 1, 1935, using this same 20-kilowatt transmitter at Nozaki, which used a number of call signs in a three-letter sequence beginning with JV. Initially, this was a one-hour daily service in English and Japanese beamed to the same areas across the Pacific. During the following year, 1936, an additional 50-kilowatt transmitter was installed at Nozaki specifically for broadcast usage. This unit was on the air under a similar series of three-letter call signs, this time beginning with JZ. As part of an expansion program, a new multi-story building containing studios and offices was opened in Tokyo in May 1939, and 2 years later a new transmitter site was commissioned at Yamata, about 20 miles north of Nozaki. As part of a fact-finding monitoring tour, NHK Radio Tokyo sent a senior engineer to Australia and Indonesia in September 1940. During his visit to Sydney, engineer Chuhai Anazawa contacted the radio magazine Australasian Radio World and gained a report of the reception conditions of Radio Tokyo as heard in Australia. He was in Australia for just a couple of days, and on his return journey he made a similar visit to Batavia in the Dutch East Indies, or Jakarta, Indonesia as it became. By the time the Pacific War flared up at the end of 1941, Japan was using five shortwave transmitters from both Nozaki and Yamata, two at 20 kilowatts and three at 50 kilowatts. Program output at this time was also increased with the introduction of new services to various parts of Asia and the Pacific, and new languages were also introduced. In November 1944, 9 months before the end of hostilities, Radio Tokyo was monitored as being on the air with nearly 33 hours of programming daily in 24 languages. The best-known programs in English at this time were the Zero Hour and the broadcasts of Tokyo Rose, along with prisoner of war information that was included in the broadcasts directed to Australia and New Zealand. They also broadcast programs in Japanese for their own armed forces on duty in various areas of the Pacific and Asia. During this period of 3.5 years, the scheduling of shortwave programs from Radio Tokyo was published in Australian radio journals, along with many monitoring reports. It was also reported that there were many technical interruptions to these transmissions due to the shortage of spare parts and skilled technicians. Although all shortwave broadcasts from Japan ended in August 1945, they were resumed from 1948 to 1951 for the benefit of Japanese prisoners of war that were still being held in China. These broadcasts were in 2 sessions daily, using 2 transmitters on each occasion, a 15-kilowatt unit and a 5-kilowatt one. But we shouldn't forget Japanese shortwave broadcasting from Manchuria and Korea. The Japanese Empire had invaded the whole of the Korean Peninsula just to the north of Japan in 1910, along with parts of mainland China, including Shanghai and Peking. In 1931, they then expanded further to occupy Manchuria, the province of mainland China immediately north of the Korean Peninsula. The Japanese authorities renamed Manchuria as Manchukuo and Korea as Chosen. And thus it was that radio broadcasting in both Manchuria and Korea was developed under the administration of the Japanese occupiers. The first radio station in Korea was JODK, a medium-wave facility in Seoul, which was inaugurated on February 16, 1927. After the end of the Pacific War, this station was allocated a new call sign, with JODK becoming HKLA. Even though radio came early to Korea, or Chosen as the Japanese called it, there was no international shortwave broadcasting station on the air in this country during the war years. Manchuria, with nearly 500,000 square miles and nearly 100 million people, is sandwiched between China and Russia. There are 3 major cities, and the best known, Harbin, has a population of 3 million people, with Manchu, Chinese and Russian origins. The first wireless station in Manchuria was a communication facility first heard in Australia in 1932, calling station J1AA in Japan on 39 meters. This new station, with the call sign Z1LY, was located at Houten. Radio broadcasting in Manchuria began with station JQAK, a medium-wave facility located at Daren, the new Japanese name for what had been Port Arthur. This 5-kilowatt station on 390 meters, corresponding to 770 kilohertz, was launched in 1927. 10 years later, a shortwave transmitter was installed alongside the medium-wave unit in the new studio building at Daren, and this was heard widely throughout the Pacific with strong signals under the call sign JDY. The Australian magazine Radio and Hobbies shows a photo of the multi-story building for JQAK medium wave and JDY shortwave around this era. A QSL letter from station JDY on 9925 kHz states that this new shortwave service was launched on July 16, 1937 with a power of 10 kilowatts. This QSL letter, written in a propaganda style, was addressed to Arthur Hankins in the United States and is now lodged with Jerry Berg and the CPRV QSL collection. A third station in Manchuria was MTCY, launched as a medium-wave facility in early 1935. A listing for that year shows that MTCY was on the air with a power of 100 kilowatts, quite remarkable for that era. Test broadcasts from a new shortwave transmitter at MTCY began in June 1939, and a second shortwave transmitter was added 2 years later. QSL cards in the CPRV collection show that the shortwave station MTCY, with a power of 20 kilowatts, was owned by the Manchuria Telephone and Telegraph Company. During the Pacific hostilities of World War II, station MTCY in Manchuria was noted in Australia and New Zealand with news and information of interest to the South Pacific. Back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Ray. That was Ray Robinson at the Voice of Hope in Los Angeles. Ray will be back with us next week. The eye of Category 4 Hurricane Helene hit the northern part of the state of Florida on September 26th. Very strong winds were felt far from the storm's center. Fortunately, here at WRMI in Central Florida, we had very little damage, mostly some strong winds for a handful of hours that caused us to shut down some transmitters for a short time. But the damage in northwestern Florida and on up through the southeastern United States was immense. The following item written by Brian Stelter at CNN gives you some idea of the devastation and the role of radio in the disaster. He wrote, "One caller asked for help finding her brother. Another needed information about evacuation routes. A third worried if a nearby dam was about to burst. A fourth wondered if another tropical storm was on the way. As Helene's waters recede, the calls and emails to iHeartMedia's radio station in Asheville, North Carolina, WWNC, are giving voice to the crisis and giving hope to listeners."
But what I want you to know is that Fairview, as beautiful it is as it is very rural, and there are parts that are just wiped out. Mm-hmm. We're in bad need on 74, which is our main throughput connection. We don't have any grocery stores open. We don't have any gas stations open, of course, without power and water, et cetera, to get supplies. So if somebody out there hears us and can help us get some basic needs open, we would greatly appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, we've had quite a few calls that the Fairview area needs help. Hopefully we can get some help out to you. The correct people are going to hear this. I promise you, you haven't been forgotten about. No one's forgotten about you, but it's just it takes some time. So to the emergency management people, to those in charge, Fairview is in desperate need some help, especially a high Fairview as you head back into the rural areas. All right, let's take a break. We're going to check out our bottom of the hour news. You're listening to continuing coverage of the recovery efforts of Tropical Storm Helene with iHeartRadio Asheville.
Volunteers from around the country are stepping in to help Helene victims as they begin their long road to recovery.
Communications across North Carolina and the region remain severed. The full scope of the flood destruction is still coming into view. So WWNC and six other stations owned by iHeartMedia are simulcasting their coverage of the emergency. Listening to WWNC's live coverage, I was reminded, said Brian Stelter, of WWL's essential role in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. Radio, whether over the airwaves and these days via live streaming, is a literal lifeline. The six iHeart stations in North Carolina are serving the community using Elon Musk's Starlink to stay on the air. You're listening to Wavescan from Adventist World Radio. The Japan Shortwave Club is one of the oldest radio clubs in the world, established in 1952 by two young college students in Sendai City, 350 kilometers north of Tokyo. The purpose of the club was to organize Japanese shortwave listeners and publish monthly bulletins to exchange DX information and promote friendship among shortwave listeners and between broadcasters and listeners. The club has issued English-language bulletins, which have been widely respected for their reliable DX information from the Far East. Among the many international activities of the club, the most noteworthy was the Radio St. Helena Revival Project. The Japan Shortwave Club was the key contributor to this project, donating a 100-watt transceiver and €2,000 in cash. The once-a-year revival broadcasts were heard worldwide in November of 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009. The accumulated total of club members is more than 9,000 during the past 72 years, but the current active members are 300-plus. The annual membership fee is 4,000 yen, but foreign members need to pay an extra postage fee if they want to receive the bulletins by postal mail. To contact the Japan Shortwave Club, send an email to jswchq@gmail.com. That's jswchq@gmail.com. The Japan Shortwave Club publishes a monthly bulletin called SWDX Guide, which covers shortwave and FM DX news, shortwave QSL information, and domestic QSL information. One thing unique in Japanese radio communities is that many community FM stations issue colorful QSLs, although their service area is very small. Some QSL collectors travel to their service areas to get those rare QSLs. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the annual club meetings had been held online since 2020, but finally in-person meetings were resumed in February of this year. In January of this year, 2024, in the Japanese program of Reach Beyond Australia, JSWC members presented an annual summary of what had been happening in the SWL DXing world during 2023. The Japan Shortwave Club set up an exhibition booth at the Tokyo Ham Fair 2024, which was held in August of this year. About 40,000 people visited the fair. And every month, on the first Sunday, the JSWC broadcasts the Japan DX Report. A DX news program in English aired during this DX program, Wavescan, which is broadcast through AWR, WRMI, WWCR, Voice of Hope Africa, and IRRS. Every year, JSWC issues a new QSL for correct reports sent to the Japan DX Report and to some radio programs in which JSWC members appear as guests. Reception reports should be sent to JSWC QSL at live.jp. Thanks to the World Radio TV Handbook's Club Spotlight for this background information about the Japan Shortwave Club. Some other DX news now from Glenn Hauser's World of Radio via Jost Jacob. Moldova. As of October 1st, the Transnistrian Radio Telecenter said it would stop broadcasting Transworld Radio programs on the frequencies of 621 kHz medium wave with 150 kilowatts and 1548 kilohertz medium wave with 500 kilowatts located at Grigoriopol, Moldova. Jost Jacob recorded the start of the last transmission of Transworld Radio on 621 kilohertz via Grigoriopol at 1730 UTC on the 30th of September via a web SDR in Romania.
Вы слушаете христианское радиовещание. Предлагаем вам передачи, подготовленные в студиях Трансмирового радио.
Милый мой, хороший друг, подарить хочу тебе зернышко.
And an hour later at 1830 UTC, this was the sign-off for the last time of Transworld Radio on 621 kHz, via Grigoriopol, Moldova, with music and an interval signal. And with that, TWR's medium wave transmissions via Moldova came to an end on September 30th. And in other news via Glenn Hauser, we were sorry to hear that David Rickwish of the Radio Heritage Foundation and the New Zealand Radio DX League passed away on September 23rd. The foundation was his gift to those interested in the history of radio broadcasting, and the website he developed stands as testament to his commitment to the task. Despite being afflicted in midlife with a difficult health condition, he continued to ensure that the Radio Heritage Foundation's presence on the Internet was comprehensive and regularly refreshed with new information. It is hoped that the Radio Heritage Foundation will continue as an online vehicle. David Rickwish was also country editor for Papua New Guinea for the World Radio TV Handbook. Now to India. Congratulations to the Indian DX Club International on the occasion of their 600th issue of the Asian DX Review in October 2024. Now it's over to Yukiko Tsuji in Tokyo with our Japan DX report.
Welcome to the DX report of the month from Japan Shortwave Club, aided by Toshio Take, and I'm Yukiko Tsuji. We have several DX reports from our club members this week. Voice of Indonesia from Jakarta was heard on 4755 kHz on September 5th from 2040 to 2100 UTC in French. SIO rating was 343. Local pop music was played until 2049, then talk program started. ID was given at 2059. Reach Beyond Australia was heard on 15460 kHz on September 4th from 1315 to the sign-off at 1400 UTC in English. SIO rating was 454. Back to the Bible was on the air, followed by Focus on the Family at 1340 and Worlds of Life at 1345. Akashvani from India was received on 15410 kHz on August 29th from 1215 to 1255 UTC in Swahili. SIO rating was 353. Interval signal was played at 1215, then ID and the music were aired. Talk program by a female announcer was broadcast until 1230, then Indian music was on the air. ID was given at 1240, then talk program by a male announcer was broadcast until 1255. Voice of Wilderness via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, was heard on 9330 kHz on September 3rd, from 1435 to the sign-off at 1530 UTC in Korean. SIO rating was 353. Talk program and music were aired. BBC World Service via Oman was heard on 17790 kHz on September 3rd, from the sign-on at 1200 to the sign-off at 1300 UTC in English. SIO rating was 454. World News was broadcast, followed by Newsroom at 1206. In the studio started at 1232. VOA Diva Radio via Kuwait was heard on 15640 kHz on September 11th from 1445 to 1530 UTC in Peshitta. SIO rating was 353. Talk program and local music were broadcast. ID and news were aired at 1500. Oromia National Media via Romania was received on 15425 kHz on September 6th from the sign-on at 1459 to the sign-off at 1529 UTC in Oromo. SIO rating was 333, then up to 444. Local music and talk program by male and female announcers were broadcast. World Christian Broadcasting via Mahajanga, Madagascar, was heard on 11610 kHz on September 1st from the sign-on at 2100 with interval signal to 2115 UTC in Chinese. SIO rating was 353. Opening music and ID were aired at 2101, followed by talk program and hymn. TWR Africa via Manzini Eswatini was heard on 15105 kHz on September 6th from 1438 to the sign-off at 1457 UTC. SIO rating was 352. English message and gospel song were on the air until 1440, then interval signal and ID were given in English. After program started at 1442 with talk program and local song, no English message was given on September 7th. Finally, Japan Shortwave Club will issue the QSL cards for the correct reports on our segment of WaveScan program. We are issuing QSL card by email to the report sent by email. Our address for your email report is jswcqsl@live.jp. I repeat, jswcqsl@live.jp. We continue to issue the printed QSL card by the same system as before. Your report should be addressed to JSWC, P.O. Box 44, Kamakura, which is KAMAKURA, postal code 248-8691, Japan. 1 ILC or 2 US dollars for return postage will be appreciated. For this edition of DX Report, we would like to thank Mr. Yoshiaki Hayashi, Mr. Iwao Nagatani, Mr. Chiaki Shimada, Mr. Kodo Sujaku, and Mr. Kazuaki Oikawa for sharing the information with us. Thank you for listening, and please join us for our next edition of DX Report of Japan Shortwave Club.
We end WaveScan today with some folk music from Japan. This is Katsushika Hokusai. Thanks for listening to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week on WaveScan, more from the HFCC B24 conference in Uzbekistan, and we'll have our Philippine DX report. WaveScan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.